great to have you guys here. Thank you very much for agreeing to join this podcast.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
And I have to ask, so you, the both of you are the presidents of NBPO at the moment?
No.
Okay, just wanted to confirm.
Maria is the former president of the immediate past president.
Okay.
And I'm the current president.
Ah, okay. And you know each other from the organization, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. We do, yeah.
We kind of knew each other before we both became board members, but not really.
How long is one season of being a board member?
3 years.
Okay.
And I was already on the boards before I became the president. So I acted as a board member for nearly 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when I stepped down, I nominated Yvette to succeed me. Mm-hmm. And then we had a general meeting in which the members can vote. Mm-hmm. So we have over 300 members.
Okay, wow.
So that's why we didn't know each other that close yet.
Okay. But
working together on the board makes you rather close. So
okay, perfect.
Yeah.
All right, then let me quickly introduce, because I have like a certain standard that I'm following in my podcast. Let me introduce quickly in German so that everybody knows as well who I'm talking to today. And I'm pretty sure you guys are fluent in German, because the most Dutch people that I know are very good at German, and not, you know, Germans are not very good at speaking Dutch.
Ordnung trifft, dein Podcast für den Blick in die Welt der Ordnung.
Herzlich willkommen zu Folge 35 von Ordnung trifft. Heute zu Gast Yvette und Marianne von aus Holland und die aktuelle und die former Präsidentin der NBPO. Can you quickly explain what NBPO stands for?
NBPO is the Dutch Association of Professional Organizers. So NBPO is the Dutch word for Association of Professional Organizers.
Okay. And as we started already into, you guys have already 300 members, which is awesome, as you are compared to, you know, Germany together with Switzerland and Austria, a quite small country with how many? 7 million people living? 17. Okay. Then a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But what I would like to know before we start into, you know, what the Dutch market looks like, and I would like to know from you guys how you came into the industry and why organizing.
Actually, I became an organizer totally by accident.
Okay.
As MBPO, we have our own training course, or we had our own training course. And one of my girlfriends saw an advertisement for that course in a magazine or a newspaper, I don't know. And she was reading it and she was like, if I'm reading this article, I'm reading about you. You have to go do this. And I was like, oh yeah, well, I was in a full-time job and was okay, I can look into it. And it made me really curious, because I also read about myself in that article. And I was like, okay, those people look a lot like me. And yeah, just let's try. And so I actually did the course just for fun.
Okay.
And I discovered a whole new world with people who also like to play with post-its and organize closets. And I was like, okay, you can actually do this as a profession. And I flipped around my whole career and stopped being a business consultant after 15 years and became a professional organizer about 5 years ago. So I totally bumped into it and became a professional organizer by accident. That's basically my story as an organizer.
But then when was that?
About, I think I did the training in 2015 and I became an organizer in about 2 years later. So mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
Okay.
I'm an organizer for 5 years now. So.
Okay. And you did that full time from the very beginning?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. But that's a commitment as well.
Yeah, it was quite a scary step. But
okay. All right. Marianne, what about you?
Well, my step was a bit more cautious, I think. That ties in with my background. I used to be a senior company lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then the age of 40 was getting closer. And then you think, well, am I doing what I really think is important to be doing at this age? Because I never knew what I wanted to become when I grow up. Mm-hmm. So I just, went into the corporate world, had a nice career there, but it didn't give me any satisfaction anymore at a certain point. So then I came across the training to become a professional organizer. Mm-hmm. And I did that at first instance as a new hobby, hoping that this would give me new challenges, new satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And then the first year I started my own company in addition to having a full-time job, mm-hmm. which was not an ideal combination either. Mm. So then after a year, I was diagnosed with skin cancer. And luckily mm-hmm. that turned out very well. But at that time, the dermatologist told me, well, if it spreads, there's nothing I can do for you anymore. And I was like, whoa, what is happening? So then I decided not to be so cautious anymore, but just to go with my gut feeling, tender my resignation, and started my full-time company as a professional organizer full-time. Mm-hmm.
Because you need to live your life to its full potential, right?
Definitely, definitely. That's also the foundation of organizing in my perspective.
Yeah.
So that tied in very nicely.
Okay. What I feel is interesting in general, I talked to really a bunch of people and a lot told me that they drove into the career of professional organizing because they were just sick of their old jobs, or they had like a eye-opening situation in their lives, or they needed to do something meaningful, and that's when they joined this profession. And also you quit your job and did this full time.
Indeed. No, well, not in the first year.
Okay.
The first year I did both, and mm-hmm. then after a year I tendered my resignation.
Okay. And now it would be interesting to know, because I mean, we are in Germany just starting that whole thing. So as you both felt confident to, after a year and Yvette starting from the very beginning full time, you felt confident that this is a profession that you, you know, from zero can make a living of very, very fast. So maybe you guys can tell me a little bit about the history of organizing in Holland. When did it start? And when you guys joined, at what, you know, on what maturity level were you already?
Mm-hmm. Well, this year we are celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
UPO. So that's quite a long time.
Okay. But from the organization itself, not yes. from the first organizer who started this whole thing.
More or less in a similar.
Okay.
It's kind of the same, I think.
Okay.
I think the first organizer wasn't there. No, the founder indeed was Annelies van Overbeek, and she's very well known in the Netherlands. She passed mm-hmm. away a few years ago. Okay. She really made a booming start of the industry in the Netherlands.
Okay.
But I think when I started in 2015, I still had to explain what the profession was if I was mm-hmm. on a birthday party or telling full enthusiastically about my new job. But I think since Marie Kondo mm-hmm. and the Netflix series, mm-hmm. also from the home edits, it really took off. So mm-hmm. now when I'm talking to someone and I'm saying, oh, I'm a professional organizer, the response is immediately, oh, wow, I've heard about that. No, that's so great that you're doing that. And,
okay.
Yeah, and also because there was an article with the 10 or 20 most... valuable professions for the coming years, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, the professions of the future. And besides drone pilot, professional organizer was one of them. So that helped a lot too. I don't know which, it's about 5-6 years ago, I think.
Okay.
Article. So it is a promising profession and we already knew that, but it's great.
Yes, of course.
The word is spreading.
Yeah.
And I think the profession itself is maybe not so well known, but everyone recognizes the need for this profession.
Mm-hmm. At least when you start to explain, and then everybody's like, ah, it totally yeah. makes sense, right?
Everybody is swamped in appointments, emails, clutter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone needs a hand.
But yeah.
the threshold of
accepting help, that's the biggest challenge, I think.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the typical Dutch client, or what is, you know, because I'm trying to get a grasp of the culture first. Why do people, for example, in the US, they accept help way more easy and they say, hey, look at everything. Sure. You know, they're way more open than, for example, the Germans are. They are very, very private. What about the Dutch?
I think it's kind of the same for the typical Dutch clients. They're really afraid to be helped. Most of the time they realize that they need help to declutter their homes, or if they're going to move, or most of the time they realize they needed help after it's already, the time already passed. And then they're like, okay, I didn't know that there was any help available. And a lot of people are quite afraid to ask for that help. And if they do ask for help, it's most of the time they're quite anxious if a professional organizer enters their home.
So they feel asking for help is, you know, full of shame. Why couldn't I do that myself? It's something everybody can do, just me. It seems to be a Central European thing, because today I talked also to one colleague in Switzerland, and she told me exactly the same thing. So I think Central Europe seems to be quite similar when it comes to that.
Yeah, it is changing. Also, working together with a personal trainer, for instance, if you're working out. 10 years ago, that was something for the elites only. And now it's very common if you have a personal trainer. But I think what distinguishes the Netherlands is that we have three types of clients. So we have corporate clients, we have private individuals, and we have, if you translate this, like healthcare clients.
I heard about that.
Yeah, that corporation is subsidized by the Dutch government.
That was a game changer. I think that's why you guys are also quite ahead of Germany, because you get that subsidized.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big impact for clients.
But that means they recognize you as an official profession.
They do. The only challenge that we have is that this subsidy is granted by the municipalities, and each municipality has their own set of rules. So it varies throughout the country.
Really, throughout the country, it is different even.
Yes.
And how do you know what requirements you have to fulfill?
Well, mostly organizers in that industry work locally. So they know in their own community which rules apply. And what's requirements they should meet. And as an association, we play an important role in that, because we have also, in addition to the title professional organizer, we also have two titles that are recognized by an external audit company. So, like registered professional organizer and master registered professional organizer.
But that's an external company. That's not part of your association?
Part of our association.
Okay.
But the company checking whether the organizer meets these requirements.
Okay.
Audited by an independent external company.
Oh, wow.
So that's really a professional level of our, in our industry.
So within the association, you have about 300 members, and they are all running through that certification that you're offering?
No, you have to apply yourself. So, for example, if you work with larger companies and not in the healthcare or for individual people, most of the time organizers don't apply for that title, because no one asks if you have the title or not. And in the healthcare market, the municipal governments do ask if you meet certain requirements. So in that case, it's more important to have that title. So although the levels of people can be equal, some people do apply for the registration and others don't.
And I think we have about 20 people who have a registration at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, you are one. So.
And what exactly are they checking? Because I believe when it's coming from the healthcare department or whatever you call it, it's about people that need help in very different levels. So you need to meet like psychological aspects or methodologies and stuff like that. Or what exactly are they checking?
Well, they're checking the educational level. Mm-hmm. And the number of hours you spent with clients, so the experience mm-hmm. that you have, you need to acquire or you need to obtain reviews from clients. What else is there?
They're mostly quality standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have a certain turnover or a certain number of hours that you have spent with clients.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to prove that you can deal with people with depression or, you know, certain challenges?
That's on the MRPO level, indeed. That's a specialization.
Okay.
So you can choose hoarding or indeed ADHD, well, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then okay. But that's also healthcare, and that's just a specialization in that area.
Yes.
Okay. Since when do you have that? Because people are asking me about this in Germany, but we didn't get a grasp of it yet.
I think about 10 years.
Yeah, around that
I think
time,
the law changed in 2004 or something. I don't
know.
Wow. Here, but...
Okay, that's quite a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had people who needed some help, but then at that time, the professional organizing industry wasn't that mature yet, was it?
No.
So how did they come together? How did the like governmental departments or that level that usually is very, you know, straightforward and you need to be registered, you need to you need all of this. How did you guys get together?
I think in the healthcare business, they were looking for people who cleaned mm-hmm. people's houses. So it started with cleaning. And then they started to find out that a lot of people who have problems keeping up a clean house or most of the time have different kinds of problems, because if you are not able to clean your own house most of the time, you mm-hmm. also have a lot of stuff. Or you are a hoarder, or you have financial problems, or psychological problems. And I think from the other side came the organizer, and we were already helping mm-hmm. people in organizing their homes. And I think I don't want to call it a coincidence, but most of the time people who had support in cleaning their house
also needed some organizing. Mm-hmm.
Realized that they needed more help, and the government started looking for people who could mm-hmm. Assist with that.
And then it helped that you already had an association. No?
Yes. Yeah. The idea behind the law is to encourage people to live in their own home longer. So not go to a hospital or to facilitated care. So people can stay in their own homes and have them take care of themselves. So mm-hmm. we teach clients how to take care of themselves rather than someone coming in, cleaning their home and leaving again.
That makes totally sense.
Learn it to do it themselves.
Did you guys also share this with all the other associations? Because I believe there's nobody, right, beside you guys who has that kind of cooperation with the government. How amazing is that?
Yes, we are a member of IFPOA.
So I talked to Barry like 2 weeks ago. It already aired.
Yeah, I saw it on your website.
Yeah.
So we are also a member of IFPOA. So we share mm-hmm. this experience as well there.
That would be so interesting how to approach that in Germany. Maybe we are a little bit closer to your culture. So maybe you could explain to us as well how to do it, because we had so many people asking, how can you work with this governmental institution or this one to get paid? The only thing that's a little bit challenging in Germany is that the day rate is very, very low.
Yeah, that varies here per municipality. Okay. I know they also have a subsidy in Sweden, now I think of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Sweden or Denmark,
yes,
one of the two.
Susanna Ritola.
Yeah. I knew it was a Scandinavian country.
But again, those guys also have like a very high social standard. And that's why I feel it makes sense for them to do it as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just trying to make a plan in my head how we can approach this topic already. I like that you guys have that.
I think if you
really
focus
do.
On the people needing the services.
Yeah.
And how they can be helped and how that could be in the best interest of the government or of municipalities.
Especially if you say you're training them to stay at home longer.
Yeah.
To live their lives more independently. That is also a big advantage for, you know, government in general, because they don't have to spend
indeed
money for them going into, you know, elderly homes or residential homes or whatever, rather than they know exactly what to do themselves.
Yeah. And it makes the works of other healthcare workers way easier too, because if someone is helping a client with finances, for example, it's the organizer who organizes all the bills and makes sure that mm-hmm. not only at this moment the bills can be paid, but also in a couple of months.
What exactly are you focusing on then? Everything that is kind of life organizing, really, from paperwork to kitchen and laundry and everything that you need to somehow organize?
For these healthcare clients, yes, indeed. For corporate clients, of course, without this subsidy, then we focus on email inboxes, time management.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Things like that. But yeah, for healthcare, that's mainly in the residential area.
Okay. So looking at the organizers, or if I want to become an organizer in Holland, so what is the kind, is there a typical process that you run through? Like, for example, you have certifications also from private organizations that you can do, then you start your business. And when you have a certain level, you enter the association. Or do you say no, and when you have the first idea, you want to become that, you will become a member, you get certified within the association, and then you grow with the team? How does it work?
Yeah, basically everybody in the Netherlands who wants to be an organizer can be an organizer. If you want to join MBPO, you need a certain level of professionalism, and you at least have to finish a basic training in professional organizing that is recognized by MBPO.
Okay. And then when you enter, you have access to all the members and you have a certain trainings and focus areas. Like, for example, I start residential and then step by step, I want to move into B2B. That's where I can be trained as well from you guys.
Now we have two types of membership. One is like a provisional membership. Mm-hmm. So those are for the more junior organizers. Mm-hmm. And when you have up to 3 years experience as an organizer, then you can become a member.
Okay.
And for both types of members, we organize training days. Those are days with a special theme, so ADHD or perfectionism, Microsoft 365. It can be a bunch of things. Mm-hmm. But the basic training is provided by external companies. We have like 8 companies at the moment, I think, in the Netherlands providing professional organizer training.
8? Wow.
Yeah, I think up to 8 now.
Yeah, 8 on different levels. We have 3 levels of organizing.
What do you mean by 3 levels?
Our education system has different kind of levels. So you have the mm-hmm. University level. I think this is the kind of the same mm-hmm. level as you have in Germany. And you have a level below that, mm-hmm. so the higher education level, and then you have a
on the job training.
Yeah,
how do we call that? More like organizing.
And
a
so
system.
These 3 levels you guys have as a standard. That's like okay.
Yeah.
And how do you get those 3 levels? Because do you have a university as well?
Oh, we have a school for organizing.
I'm asking because the Americans are, you know, on the edge of. Mindy told me. About on the edge of, you know, getting this as a higher education as well.
Yeah. No, we did achieve the organizer to be registered as a profession. Mm-hmm. But indeed, the university is not yet a fact.
Okay.
You should never stop dreaming.
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Postgraduate education for senior mm-hmm. professional organizers. But that's... Outside of the association.
Okay. So you have the association, and then you have those 8 other companies, training companies, where you can get either one of those 3 levels.
Yes.
Oh, okay. But they have to also follow those standards of those 3 levels.
Yes.
Uh-huh. See, we in Germany, we don't have that. What we have at the moment, let's call it only, because we simply just started a couple of years ago, is that we have 3 companies that certify, not even, let's face it, if you look into the process, I'm not even sure if government would allow this to call certification, because there are certain standards that you need to follow. But these 3 companies help you to build a business around professional organizing. So they give you business courses. They show you a little bit about what kind of organizers are out there, how to do your website, you know, how, you know, all of that kind of thing. But it's not official. But for, yeah, for the starters though.
Yeah.
There's nothing yet. And that's what we are building in the upcoming year is the next level. So we call it basic advanced professional.
Mm-hmm.
And also these groups are only, you know, talking to, they can also reach out to the other groups, but they are also within their own group. Because what we learned is that especially those who have more experience, who already have a certain career in it, they want to talk to people on eye to eye level.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what we are creating there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're starting your company, it's also nice to exchange experience with like-minded people.
Exactly. But you can also reach out to the others, right? But in as we started last year, I put everybody in a group. And then we realized that especially the starters, they ask a lot of questions. And the rest was like, ugh, we only have to answer those. But, you know, who's answering our questions?
Yeah.
So it makes sense to also, you know, divide these. But and you in the organization, in the association, do you divide them into two, right? Junior and senior.
Yeah, but for the training days, it's all for everyone. Mm-hmm. But in addition to the training, we call that intervision. And those are smaller groups of like six people.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually a mixture of junior and senior colleagues.
Okay.
And they discuss client cases. For instance, mm-hmm. if you work together with a client and you don't know what to do, or the client doesn't do what you have in mind, or the other way around, mm-hmm. then you can exchange ideas with the colleagues. How would you approach that? What can I do? Mm-hmm. So that's very valuable as well.
Okay. And how many people, you know, you have a board, how many people are organizing those courses and, you know, voluntarily support that the association, you know, runs?
Currently we have three board members and around
seven ambassadors.
Count. We should have eight people just, we call them ambassadors, so they cannot make any decisions, but they organize all the, from PR to social media to organizing the activities to being our webmaster or basically everything that goes around in the associations.
I think in total we have like 60 volunteers.
60?
Yeah, 60
around.
Wow. And people have like a small role and some have a bigger role, but all in all, it's 1/5 of our members. So we're very proud of that.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And they also change, you know, every, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. Okay.
No, there's no fixed term for those roles.
Okay.
So they do it as long as they like.
But they're all volunteers.
They are all volunteers, yes.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have around 2 or 4 people at our secretary office and that are paid people. So we have a secretary that picks up our phone and answers our email, and we have someone who does our finances.
Okay.
So we have a for those kinds of tasks, we have we pay people to do that, because for us as a volunteer, it's not doable to pick up our own phone
makes sense.
The whole day. Especially if we have our own company to, and we have to make our own money too. So,
yeah, of course. Now we are getting to a very interesting point, because what I'm also looking into is the maturity of the markets, and that is shown by, are you guys mainly solopreneurs, or are you already, you know, there's also certain levels where you start cooperating, where you have like two people companies, and then also where you have employees. And Yvette, I know we talked before, and your, you know, idea working, for example, with training companies, B2B, and also they are hiring professional organizers. That already, I dropped those ideas into my community, because I feel this is so smart. There's so many things we can learn from you guys. And one of the things is cooperating with other, you know, corporations, getting even hired. But where do you say in this whole, you know, development, where are you right now?
I think we're on the next level now, because I think in the US there are already quite some multi-person businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're now gradually moving into that stage. There are some colleagues who work together. They hire each other. So they're not used yet, but they form for projects, they work together. But there are, I think, like a couple of companies now that consist of multiple organizers. Mm-hmm. I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
But also on a on an employee basis, or more on a we founded this company together and we do projects together?
Yeah, the latter now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and since about, is it 2 or 3 years? We have a special training for people who want to be, who want to become a professional or professional organizing inside a corporate business. So they're actually paid by the by the company they work for. So they're not self-employed, but there's a company who pays them to be the professional organizer in that company.
So they would be hired, or they would go as a freelancer?
No, they're an employee of the company.
Oh, an employee. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just on the payroll, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's quite new.
This is also something that is very interesting for our community to listen to. What kind of companies are hiring professional organizers? We talked about like the software company that you mentioned, Yvette, right?
Yeah, basically a lot of healthcare organizations, I think, and a lot of governments. So the local governments and the national government, a lot of... Mm-hmm. Self-employed people as well. Mm-hmm. That's our also company.
Sometimes people who act as a secretary within a company or a management assistant, they move into the role of organizer. Mm-hmm. So they don't change jobs altogether. They still work for the same employer, but their role shifts. So they assist colleagues in organizing.
And I have to, because I mentioned that to Francesca today, apparently in Austria, the Association for Management Consultants, or for consultants, business consultants, they complained that organizers are now moving into their areas.
Ah.
But I learned something from Francesca today. She told me, might be, but whereas business consultants look at the process from a higher perspective, from a corporate perspective, you as an organizer look at the individual. Right? You look at their time management and their emails and their communications and their filing systems and everything. So this individual within the cooperation can work better. And there you have it. You are interfering just at that one little tiny area, right? But at the rest, you don't. It's a different perspective.
There is an overlap indeed, but it's also we are more hands-on. Mm-hmm. Business analysts, they recommend something. And then the engineer should do it, but usually they don't have a clue how to do it.
and how do you, so Yvette, you said that you're working with this kind of company. What exactly are you doing?
I work for a larger training company that sells Microsoft equipment to other companies. So they implement the software somewhere and they just start using it. And then all of a sudden they realize, okay, now we are moving our digital files, for example, and our email from a local server to the cloud. That's most of the time what happens, especially since COVID. And then they did the move, and then they all of a sudden realize, oh my God, we cannot find anything anymore. So that's most of the time the point that the company starts realizing, okay, our file systems are a complete mess and we don't know how to find anything anymore. And that's most of the time where the organizer comes in. And then we explain you don't need 8 or 9 mouse clicks to find a document.
Find it in 3. That's the target.
And then we start reorganizing all the files and throw a lot of them away.
But then physical or digital?
Most of the time digitally, but that's just for the company I work for. So.
But that is a good example. Marianne, do you also have an example like that that you work with?
Yeah, similar. Yeah, there's a company I work with. They're like a real estate agent, and they it's a family-run business, but a lot of the information is in people's heads. Mm-hmm. So now we're taking all the information out, and we're drafting processes. So we document the things they do, and we check whether it can be done more efficiently. And we also organize the server. But it's also the organizing keys. I did that recently. Mm-hmm. Like 200 sets of keys. And we didn't know which keys was for which door anymore. So we organized that and labeled that. And then we put it into a system that if the plumber comes in and they need a key, well, where can I find this key?
Yeah.
And to keep track of the keys to make sure that they're coming back at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? There are a lot of professions out there that without an organized setup and process, people would die. That will be, by the way, my next season is talking to peoples with jobs, yeah, like in the military or firefighters or doctors, or, you know, they have jobs. If you don't have things at the place where it needs to be, people simply will die.
Yeah. Yeah. I lived at an American army base for a while.
Okay.
And I can totally confirm, I was really, really happy there because everybody is so organized right there. Because they simply get punished for not making their bed, not putting yes, their clothes away.
And in Germany, yeah, we had, you know, a couple of years ago, it was unfortunately skipped, but we had our boys being sent to the military for a couple of months where they learned this kind of stuff. A lot of people tell me we miss it. We really miss it because that basic training of, you know, organize yourself from time management in the morning, because you cannot be 1 second late. You get punished for that, right?
I teach students time management nowadays.
Okay, wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
In NDPO, we try to have professional organizing as a course in school. We're not there yet, but yeah, I think if people learn about organizing at a young age, it can really change the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's the base for everything. Yeah. Let's face it.
It is.
I mean, if we don't learn that from home, you, as you mentioned, need a person that manages your life, and it's getting more and more complex, and it's getting very painful if you cannot keep up with it. And the problem with it is, I feel that the middle class is even starting to get challenges with organization, because all the world is getting so incredibly complex that if you're not able to do categories and to structure and declutter for you once in a while, then it's just overwhelming.
It is. And that's why as an NBPO, we also work together with external partners. Mm-hmm. And one of them focuses on digital organizing. Mm-hmm. So when you pass away, then no one can get into your iPhone. How do you do that? Who wants to have your pictures and check your emails? So it's very versatile organizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We, by the way, we have one startup that when you live, of course, then you put like everything you have in accounts, like social media, but everything else, shopping, blah, blah, blah. And then you can say what should happen after you pass away.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they just, whenever they know officially that you are gone, then they do that. And then they delete everything. And then you are not remembered like 10 years later from Facebook.
Do you want to be friends with, isn't this person? Oh, that's exactly. That's a big step forward. Very good.
Yeah. Maybe that could be very interesting for you guys if you don't have that yet. But it's
no, we have that
Germany
as well. That's okay. The company is doing that.
Okay.
And it's, you told about the military and being close to dying, and you know what will happen.
But exactly.
They also work together with a funeral company. And if they have clients who pass away and they have like a home they live in that should be sold, then I can come in as an organizer and see what is valuable for the family and what can be sold or can be going to thrift shops.
Yeah. Then I have a last question, because this is exactly what we discussed within the community as well the other day. And in January, in our monthly meeting, we will take this as an approach. A lot of, as you say, funeral homes or funeral companies and real estate companies, they do not really listen to organizers when they try to approach them. They say, nobody needs that. And, you know, how do you guys approach them? Or did they approach you when they heard of you?
It kind of depends on in which area in the Netherlands you are, because in my area, it's completely almost impossible to approach a real estate people or a funeral homes or things like that. But I know Marianne did quite well, and she has a lot of contacts in her region because she's on the other side of the Netherlands. And over there, it worked quite well. But I think it's mostly because Marianne put in a lot of effort and a lot of time approaching those people and kept telling them, you need us, I can help you. And over here in this area, it's just
Mm-hmm. How did you do that, Marianne? How did you
Well, what you know is who you know. So I, when I became, joined network associations in my area. And networking, in my view, is not about what I can do for you, but listening, well, what do you need? And then if I can be of service to them, they remind me. And then when an opportunity knocks, then they think of me. So I'm active on social media, but I also go to these network meetings. And repetition is the key, I think. Stick to it and have a clear explanation on what you can do for your clients, what value you can add. And then they recognize that, they remember it. And if they see you on social media, they will never forget you. So
Okay, that makes totally sense. To just, you know, talk and talk. It's just frustrating to them. And I totally understand sometimes when you like write the 10th email and then you go to an event and you hear the 500th time, organizing, that's, everybody can do that.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating after a while. But it makes sense. I mean, you have to also approach them on all the different levels.
Yeah, and obtaining reviews from clients, that was really useful to me. Mm-hmm. In the end, if they have one client who has the experience of working with an organizer and they are very satisfied, then the real estate agent thinks, oh, wow, it does really make a difference. Mm-hmm. But if I tell it myself, they think, oh, yeah. So if you have people telling how good you are, that really helps.
So you're trying to get the first client somehow.
Yep.
That makes sense, maybe, to approach the client first and then, hey, tell your real estate client that, you know, we are great at what we do and that we are helpful to achieve your target. That makes sense.
If a home looks organized, then it sells more quickly. Yep. And nowadays in this market, I'm not sure how it is in Germany, but there's a shortage of homes here in the Netherlands. So they are sold very easily. So now the real estate agents don't really need organizers because, well, it doesn't sell anyway. But there will come a time that it takes more time. And then all the stylists and the organizers, they can come in and increase the fees of the real estate agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes totally sense. How many organizers do you have now in Holland? What do you think? I mean, you have 300 members, but I believe there might be also a little bit more outside of the association.
Yeah, I think around 700 or something. We did a check last year at the Chamber of Commerce, but it's different. It's a bit difficult because no one uses, or not everyone uses the same term.
That's quite a funny story. We do not use the number where we are registered on is also the same category as the red light district workers.
You said that. Yes, I wrote that down. I wanted to say that. That is why on earth would they put you in this category?
They made up this category in a time that they didn't know what a professional.
No, but the number of 300 was still too small for them to create a separate category. So, I did try. Like the remaining category. When no other box can be ticked, then you're this category.
So, okay, what I learned from that is you better grow first and become like really powerful and then go and register so you get your own category and not go with the, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against these people. It's just something that doesn't, you know, belong together.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
But there are other types of jobs in this category as well. So this is not the only one. This combination is usually the most challenging part of opening a bank account if you use that code.
Okay, understand. All right. And what your last words, your advice to Germany and to, or the German speaking market, what would you say, you know, moving on, you know, now we're at what stage we are still solopreneurs, but, you know, moving on into cooperating with each other. We have no government that supports us yet, but what would you say would give us a little push?
Don't try to do it all by yourself. Find help from other professional organizers and try to act as a group.
Yeah, that would be my advice as well.
Mm-hmm.
No, we also refer to our colleagues as colleagues. We are not competitors. We are colleagues.
Yeah.
We are all very different. And even if you live in the same area, you have a different niche or a different experience. So every client, there are enough clients for all of us. So just have confidence that if you work hard and put in the hours, then it will work out definitely. And it's the best job in the world.
That is so, so cool. And I'm very looking forward to the next years and the next development steps. And it's so refreshing to see when each and every individual is celebrating little tiny successes. It's really, that makes others as well happy, because they know when they celebrate a success, that's something for the great benefit of everyone in the end of the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I believe that's what we can do and also bring as an, well, not association as you guys have it, but, you know, in a, as a corporate professional organizer, yeah, group, let's say, we have the same set of rules and I think the same values that we are following up on.
Nice. Yeah. And I think your podcast is also a very good example of connecting colleagues in the industry. Yeah. So yeah.
I mean, to be honest, you know, the last couple of episodes, they like skyrocketed because everybody was like, no, what? This is what they're doing. What? Wow. We can do that. Let's use this. And it's as we also had our first summit this year with about 60 organizers, the outcome was that they were like, it's so amazing, like, to see everybody and to know now what they're doing. And I can work with this person because I want to go more into that niche area. That exactly is what we are all looking for. Before, it was a little bit like, and this person maybe does something that I want to do. But, you know, make it a big group, make it very official, then everybody puts away that mindset and goes straight forward.
Yeah, and energy comes together and then you can inspire each other. And it was a great story that I went to the NAPO conference a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. We were in a taxi with Catherine Blackler from EPTO in the UK and Susanna Rietedaal, who just started as an organizer. She nearly registered her company and then she went to this conference. And me, we were on our way to Dallas and we brainstormed and we said to Susanna, well, wouldn't it be great if you founded the Swedish Association of Organizers. And she was a bit hesitant. But then a couple of months after, she did that. And they now, together with some other colleagues in Sweden, they formed the Swedish Association.
Okay.
And they grew very rapidly and they have their own training platform. So organizing spreads like a virus around the world.
That's really cool. Are you guys going to Vegas next year?
Well, not me. I'm going to EPTO, I think, next year. I went to Naples twice and it's a really great experience. But it's also quite a far trip from here.
Yeah,
it takes about a week of your schedule. So I'm planning to go to EPTO next year.
Okay, that's the UK one you mentioned,
right?
That's
the UK one, yes.
If you guys have any contact to the UK I should talk to, let me know. UK is not on my list yet.
Okay, well, Catherine Blackler and Sammy Ryan, those are the two you should definitely meet.
Yeah, I'd love to, because I believe that that's just my perception, that the UK is somehow on a little at the same level as the US, or is that just a perception thing?
No, they're a bit smaller. They're, I think, like 400 members now, but they grew very rapidly the last few years. Mm-hmm. And their benefit is that everyone around the world speaks English. So they have a lot of colleagues who work with clients from abroad.
Yeah.
And we had a summit once where we did it in English and we had some guests from Finland, but not all our members speak English. So that was quite complicated. So we should.
That's what Barry said. It's a little bit challenging. We wanted to do like one big organization for everyone, but not everybody speaks English. So we just keep it locally. It makes more sense.
It does. It does. But it's great that you have a summit.
Yeah. Yeah. We will do that now not every year, maybe, but every 1.5 year. Yeah. And then let's see how everybody's grasping into that. Be very interesting to see.
It will be. Yeah.
Thank you very much, you guys.
Yeah, thank you too.
It was a pleasure. We learned again so much. It's like I already have a book like this size that of things that I want to implement. Oh. But you know, it's really cool.
Vielen Dank, Verena.
Ja, vielen Dank euch auch.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüss. Das war's auch schon für heute. Danke, dass du dabei warst. Wir freuen uns auf die nächste geordnete Runde mit dir. Happy Days, deine Verena.